Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. And we are very pleased to be joined in the studio right now by Omar Ruiz. He is a reporter for NFL Network, and this gives you an indication of what this week is all about. Thursday night, the Browns are in the epicenter of the NFL. The spotlight is shining proudly on Northeast Ohio as the Browns take on the Buffalo Bills. And it's that big of a deal that NFL Network comes with an army to cover this game, sends the first guy in, which is you. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, we're all in. You know, I'm the first line of defense here.
I'll be
here Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Rich Eisen and Michael Irvin and the big boys, they'll be here Thursday for the pregame show. And Mayock and Nestler and the whole gang. And yeah, you're right. The center of the NFL world will be focused on here on Thursday. But what a week for Cleveland, right? I mean, the epicenter of the sports world will be right here in Northeast Ohio.
It's exciting to think about, and we were just trying to maybe let our imaginations go on what it could mean with a 2-0 Wednesday, Thursday. That would be just it would be pretty unthinkable.
It'd be Nirvana.
But thinkable, doable. But I'm just saying the reaction to it is the thing I'm loving.
Well, I heard you guys mentioning, you know, jumping in the lake there. I worked in Columbus for a number of years, and every year before the Michigan game, the Ohio State students jump into Mirror Lake there on campus. So I can imagine them, you know, the fans of Cleveland jumping into the lake here after, you know, going 2-0 this year.
So hopefully someone will come out. Omar, storylines. What are some of the things that you're going to be focusing on over these couple of days to help set up this game?
Well, of course, you know, Brian Hoyer, you know, obviously is the big story. He's been one of the big stories in the NFL the last couple of weeks. Coming in here, the hometown kid, makes his first start in Cleveland and has that, you know, game putting away drive there to finish off the Bengals in that in-state rivalry game, and what he did at the end of the game with Cameron in Minnesota, you know, that's been fantastic. And I like what Chud said earlier today in which one of the reporters asked him, you know, do you think Brian senses something special about what he's doing, you know, given that Chud grew up a Browns fan, and so did Hoyer, and Brian talked about how he was at Cleveland's last game in 95, you know, before they moved, and the heartbreak that he experienced with it. And yes, he gets that. He relates to that. But at the same time, he's a focused young man, and he's a focused quarterback, and he's studying up on the Bills, and it's a short week, and he'll be ready to play, you know, whether he grew up in Cleveland or whether he grew up in Miami. He's a prepared quarterback, and he'll be ready to go. And, you know, that's a big storyline. We love the defense of the Browns, how they've stepped up. You know, the Browns have led at the half every game this year, and we talk about all the time, you know, when there's regime changes mm-hmm. for these teams and the change of culture. But until you start seeing that in the win-loss column,
right,
it doesn't really do anything. And they've had two wins now to back that up. So you get a sense that something special could be happening here in Cleveland. And hopefully they'll be able to take hold of this Thursday night spotlight on national TV.
And keep it going, absolutely. What is the national perception now? Teams start off 0-2, now 2-2. The defense, number 3 in the NFL, number 1 in yards per play at 4.2. Is the perception now that maybe, hey, Baltimore's not as good as people maybe thought, Cincinnati's not as good as people thought, Pittsburgh's 0-4, which people in Cleveland like hearing. Again, Pittsburgh is 0-4. This Browns team maybe has a chance to get into the mix in the postseason.
Yeah, why not, right? I mean, you just mentioned the reasons why. You know, they're tied for first right now in the AFC North. And what I think is hilarious, and I don't know, your guys' reaction has probably been very similar, but a couple weeks ago, it was gloom and doom. They're giving up on the season. They're already looking forward to the 2014 NFL draft.
Yes.
2 weeks later, here we're talking about the playoffs this season.
Yeah.
So the outside perception is that, yeah, Cleveland is has a chance. You know, whenever you have a strong defense, the offense is making plays that, yeah, they're going to be right there. They've already shown what they can do against a division rival in the Bengals, and they were right there against Baltimore. And this Bills team that they play on Thursday, you know, they just knocked off the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah, they're going to be right there. You know, Pittsburgh has a whole set of problems there. So why not the Cleveland Browns as mixing it up in the AFC North?
Certainly. And let me ask you this, because you brought up a very, very fair and very valid, and believe me, we lived it, that in, you know, that was, he was traded last 2 weeks ago Wednesday. So 13 days ago, Trent Richardson was traded.
Like,
so
yes.
12 days ago was what we would call Armageddon Thursday on Cleveland Browns Daily. People were, I mean, you thought they were going to get the pitchforks out and they wanted to lynch people. And now 2 weeks later, these guys are, you know, Mike Lombardi, Joe Banner, who are being, you know, they wanted their heads. Now all of a sudden these guys are being lauded as geniuses and they could see things that nobody else could, et cetera, et cetera. What's kind of the national perception now on this Trent Richardson trade 2 weeks removed from it? Now that the Browns have gone 2-0, Trent Richardson's still averaging 3 yards a carry in Indianapolis. Is it one of those things? Because initially, I think when you talk to the big voices, the Browns actually did something smart here. Now, is it pretty much a unanimous consensus that the Browns pulled one off here?
Yeah, and like we talked about, you know, especially in the NFL when you only have 16 games, it's all about wins and losses. And in the short term, the Cleveland Browns are showing that, hey, maybe they are better off, you know, and, you know, if they keep winning, they're going to prove it, definitely that they're better off. And then, of course, long term, they're going to have those two first round picks next year. So it's hard to argue against that it was a good move long term. So now that they're proving it short term, it seems like a win-win all the way around for Cleveland. And I would say from, you know, the outside perspective, going 2-0, making a difference. And McGahee stepping in there, and what I liked about him is, yeah, he was rusty in that first game he played, but then, you know, down the stretch, those six carries, 33 yards in that final drive,
huge,
and making things happen, and to go along with what Hoyer is doing, it's like, yeah, it seems like, yeah, it was gloom and doom, and people were writing the Cleveland Browns off, but it almost feels like that is such a part of ancient history.
It's crazy.
Even though it's just 2 weeks ago, and even though it was a huge reaction, it seems like it is in the past, and the Browns are making the most of what remains of 2013 here, which could be, you know, a playoff spot. Who knows?
Who knows, right?
Omar Ruiz joins us. He's a reporter for NFL Network. He is in town because NFL Network is covering, of course, Thursday night's game between the Browns and the Bills. When you plan for this sort of thing, the coverage, and you've been part of this, obviously, through the past several weeks with NFL Network, give me a sense of the strategy as you approach it and what you look to do as you lead in right through the broadcast, because we never know how the game's going to go, and you got to have material for that audience, and that, like other really good networks, NFL Network is never short of that. So there's as much, you're gathering as many things as possible, right? You guys are really loading up.
Oh yeah, and I think that starts with, you know, the high level executives that map out in the NFL, that map out the games throughout the week. You have a game like Philadelphia and Kansas City that they got, that no matter how the Eagles were playing, no matter how the Chiefs were playing, yeah, Andy Reid returning to Philadelphia was
big
just going to be a huge,
yep,
story. It was going to be in the mix. When you look at this game heading into the season, Buffalo, Cleveland, okay, you look at a couple teams with new coaches, a couple teams in transition, maybe rebuilding, even though teams don't like to use those words, but from the outside perception, that's what it was. But here we are now talking about two teams that are 2-2. Turn things around, good young quarterbacks.
Two first-year coaches
that have really, like we say, changed the culture there. And now that's an exciting game. So the things that we talked about here early on, you know, the storylines about Hoyer and E.J. Manuel, and I thought it was interesting that I remember I was here doing some pre-draft coverage on the Browns in April, and it was right after Chud had met with E.J. Manuel, I think his second visit, going down to Florida, and he seemed to be enamored with him. Ultimately, they decided not to draft him there. But, you know, that's pretty intriguing there, you know, how Chud compared him to Cam Newton and who he had coached down there at Carolina. So, you know, we talk about the Hoyer stuff, you know, E.J. Manuel, a couple teams on the rise looking to build some momentum. This is a very fascinating game. It seems to always work out that way in the NFL, you know, whether it's Sunday, Monday, Thursday. The matchups seem to kind of right themselves, and this one's no different. Should be very exciting.
Barkevious Mingo was the guy that this organization, some people were, what are you doing, take this guy 6th overall? Well, all he's done is play 3 games, get 3 sacks. What is the perception of him out there, and just how impressed are you with what you've seen from this kid?
Well, I remember Barkevious coming into our studios, you know, February, March or whatever, you know, leading up to the draft, and you know, very put together young man and very well spoken. I enjoyed talking to him, enjoyed meeting him, and he had you know, the skill set that was off the charts, obviously, you know, why they took him in top 10. And then, you know, he gets hurt, you know, the bruised lungs sound very serious when it first happened.
Sure.
You know, it seemed to be, and as it played out, you know, not as long term as potentially it could have been. But yeah, like you said, you know, first the Browns player in history, three sacks through his first 3 games. And he's delivering, you know, what a first round top 10 pick should deliver. And, you know, you talk about, we were talking to DeQuell Jackson earlier today, and you got to give credit to those guys on the outside and the guys, you know, there in the front four, that, you know, him playing that middle backer position, he says he's getting to the ball carrier untouched. And that's a credit to the guys up front, you know, Kiki in particular, making plays up there. And I think, you know, his potential is enormous, and he's already showing what he can do. You know, imagine, you know, kind of once he keeps going and learning the system and all mm-hmm. that, you know, he could be scary for years to come.
We're visiting with Omar Ruiz. He is a reporter for NFL Network, and he is here in advance of Thursday night's game between the Browns and the Bills. Last one from me is we talk about these coaches, Rob Chudzinski and Doug Marrone from the Bills. With Chud, that hometown story thing is another line. People said this early on when he was hired, and I think it's starting to register now. There is a sense among people who have had every reason to question every preceding coach here, pretty much, or certainly since 1999, the team's return to Cleveland, and wonder, okay, what do we have here? With this guy, the questions still need to be answered, but I think for the most part, they're loving the fact that he's one of them. And I think that's a credit, right? Some street cred that he has that I think trumps a lot of other coaches, because there's a genuine feeling that he identifies better with the fan base, and that matters to them. They think when he's in there preparing a game plan with North Turner, that he's doing so with far more passion. Therefore, it's going to be a better game plan. Yeah. I don't know if that's accurate, but it does sound good.
No, it does sound good, and I would have to believe that it's true. I mean, he cares more. Yeah, he grew up rooting here, and of course it's his job. But yeah, it's a much more of an emotional tie to him that goes deeper. Of course, you know, every coach in the league is trying to win and their jobs are on the line. But yeah, it does tie into him, you know, going back from when he was growing up. And I remember in the opening press conference that he had when he talked about pretending to be Ozzie Newsome in the backyard and Brian Sipe and all those guys. And yeah, that definitely means something when you talk about how it relates to the fans and you know, his sort of refusal to accept losing here, and even after their 0-2, that proclamation, and they do the trade, and he's still on board with what the team was, with what the guys he had in the locker room, and I think that has resonated throughout the rest of the guys in talking to the players today that they believed too. I mean, it would have been very easy at 0-2, losing two close games, same old Browns, but they didn't do that, and there has to be something tangible that they tied their belief to, and in large part it could come down from the coaching staff, and that belief, that conviction that is tied deeper, that hey, we're going to change things around here, we're going to refuse to lose, and we're going to go make some things happen, and they have.
And Joe Hayden talked about in that first game when the guys in the locker room were saying, you know, maybe they are throwing in the towel, and then all of a sudden they go fake punt, fake field goal. He said the coaches are pulling out all the stops, they're not playing to lose, they're playing to win, and that went a long way.
Yeah, and I think kind of getting back to your point, Vic, about you know that pride and Brian Hoyer even talked about it today. Just, you know, Northeast Ohio is birthplace of professional football. And you know, having lived here for about 3.5 years, just the pride that people have in football, in their teams, whether it's the Browns, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's the Bengals.
Whether it's high school.
Yeah, whether it's high school football. Yeah. And he can appreciate that. And same with Hoyer. I remember Hoyer being you know, at Michigan State when they're playing Ohio State, and he was part of a team that had three of their four captains from Ohio on that Michigan State team. And even back then, and today he even talked about just what it means to be from Ohio, you know, one of the top, you know, football states in America, and what it means to the people here. Sure. And how it's webbed into the fabric of everyday life. And so I think having Coach Chudzinski, who's grown up here and knows that and appreciates that, you're right. It is something that is definitely identifiable, and you know, hopefully he applies it long term, and they have success, big success here.
You're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about, obviously, and that's great. And we look forward to it, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
He is Omar Ruiz, a reporter for NFL Network. Check out his great work there. He is here in advance of NFL Network's coverage Thursday night, Browns and Bills, First Energy Stadium. Be there and be loud. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to have Gerard Cherry join us in a little bit. We'll get your calls at 216-578 0850. Thank you.
You got it?
Yeah.
Our team.
And tweet us at Browns_daily. 216-578-0850. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR. There's the bar.